Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Welcome to my blue kingdom of blueness. Who chose this color?
I'm loving the hello, 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 hello echo thing that you got going on.
Is it echo? Ricola.
Don't do that.
We're going to get sued. No, I am working the echo problem. Like I was saying in the pre-show, I just haven't Googled it yet. So
I see.
You should have seen the desk I had to put together.
I did, actually. I saw post on Facebook, and that's the same desk that I had when I was working in Ontario. So it made me laugh because I know it took me and my coworker probably the better part of like 3 hours to set that desk up. It was a pain in the ass.
3 hours? It took me 3 days.
Well, but there was two of us.
Oh, my God.
And we're women, so we follow instructions.
I have tried to follow instructions. I got the whole thing put together. This isn't gaming related, but I will play games on the desk. So it counts.
It totally counts.
I got the whole thing put together. There's a couple scratches on the top of the desk just where, you know, I might have, like, pulled it and it caught something.
Stabbed
not a big deal.
Screwdriver.
I don't know what it was, but I have tons of crap. Ashley made a good point. So you have so much shit. Have you seen your desk? You're not going to see the top of the desk. Which, okay, so I got over it pretty quick. But then I'm drilling the hutch, which is the top part here, into the bottom of the into the desk. And as I'm drilling, because of the... This room is smaller than you think. This desk is huge. So as I'm drilling, I don't realize it's like 10 p.m. and I'm drilling sideways. And I drilled two screws through the hutch. And they came out on the other side. And there's two giant holes. And I was pissed. I was screaming my head off. Just like... I'm so glad we don't have a tenant yet, because they probably would have thought.
I was going to say, it's a really good thing that you don't have any neighbors who can hear you screaming at like 11 o'clock at night, because that would have been really funny.
They probably thought Ashley was murdering me.
Probably, or yeah, the other way around, maybe, who knows.
Yeah, because that's what I sound like when I'm murdering people. When I play video games, I'm always screaming like a maniac.
So you're all moved into your house now, so that's pretty fantastic.
Yes.
We are all so very happy for you and your new house.
Well, the first thing I did was set up all my consoles.
Good, good. Get your priorities straight. That's what matters.
Yeah, priorities.
So what are you playing on those consoles?
Well, what I wanted to play this week but didn't actually get around to doing, I
had so many of those this week, man.
The new Fire Emblem came out on Monday. Nobody told Walmart that, unfortunately. So this is another segment that I like to call Ryan Tries to Buy Games.
It's right up there with Ryan Tries to Play Games.
Yeah. So Fire Emblem came out on Monday, and I had a busy move weekend. So I wasn't on Twitter. I wasn't on Google Reader at all. So I was totally just focused on the move. And my reward was Monday. I had the day off and I was going to go buy Fire Emblem for the 3DS and just play it. But I get to Walmart, and I hate when Nintendo releases games. I've probably complained about this every time it happens, but
yes.
I hate when Nintendo releases games not on Tuesdays, because I get to the store, I'm all excited, I get to the cabinet, not there. Ugh, Walmart. Go to the clerk, and I'm like, do you guys have Fire Emblem for the 3DS? It's supposed to come out today. And the woman's like, oh, you should... Games always come out on Tuesdays. And I'm like... Really? Like, I was like, well, you sure it's supposed, like, online it says it's supposed to come out today, and she says, sorry, we don't have it, and I didn't even say anything to her, I just walked away. In hindsight,
I am done with you and your stupidity, Walmart.
I just gave up, and in hindsight, I was thinking about it, because I had to drive to about 20 minutes away to drop off a check, and I was like, in hindsight, I was probably pretty rude to her. And on the way back from Walmart, I had this bright idea. I was sitting in the parking lot looking at my Twitter, search Fire Emblem. It's got to be out today. Turns out there was a shipping error which caused all physical copies of the game to not be delivered anywhere in North America. Totally delayed. And as of this recording, I was in Walmart last night. Been doing a lot of like, oh, we need a snow shovel, so let's go to Walmart, you know? So every time we go, we've been there like 3 days this week. Every time we go, I go to electronics to see if it's there, and it's not. So it's still delayed. But Anyways, I had the bright idea that on my way back from Lakefield, I would stop by Walmart again and pick up eShop cards. Because the reason I'm buying it at Walmart is I have a $30 credit at Walmart.
Oh, you know? I see.
So I figure if I buy the cards...
I knew there must still... be a reason.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, I probably should have just gone home and downloaded it. So it was available on the eShop, same price, no wait. You just download it and play it. So I go to... I get the same clerk. Well, no, first of all, I'm waiting at the desk for freaking 5-10 minutes as 5 Walmart employees waddle around the electronics store doing whatever they need to do. And then the same person who served me this morning comes over and says, oh, can I help you with something? I'm like, yeah, I just want to cash out. You know, I'm sitting here with my credit card out and this product I want to buy. So she goes around and I feel the need to educate her. And I say, I was looking online. God, right. And yeah, this is really bad. This woman, I'm sure, it's not her fault. It's Walmart's fault. Walmart should have told her that the game was delayed. So I decided to dig an even deeper hole by trying to explain to her why this game isn't in stock. So I say to her, I was doing some searching online. It turns out Fire Emblem had a shipping delay and it's not going to be in this week. And it's delayed by a week. And she's like, oh, well, that happens. I'm like...
Especially with Tuesday releases.
Oh, Jesus. I'm like, I don't know who to be upset with. Her manager who didn't have this information ready for her but I've had this issue with, like, some people who work at Walmart know what they're talking about. Like, I went in on a Sunday for Paper Mario on 3DS, and the woman was just talking to me about, like, oh, this one usually doesn't come out on 3DS, and I always try to have the Nintendo titles out on a Sunday when they come out, and she's super great. But this woman had no idea what she was doing. And I don't know. I just sometimes... I know you. I'm not going to see if you're nodding or not, but do you agree with me in the sense that if you're going to work in electronics section, you should probably know what's going on? Or is that too much to ask?
No. I think familiarity with the product that you are selling is... important, unless your job is to simply stand behind the cash and cash people out. But if you're one of the people wandering around, stocking the shelves, helping out customers or whatever, then yeah, you should know at least your release dates. Or, you know, you should be interested just a little. And okay. I mean, it's video games. It's not hard to get excited about video games. And if you don't like video games, go work in clothing or food, whatever it is that you're passionate about.
Or at Walmart. Snow shovels. I don't know. I have the utmost respect for people who work at Walmart. I love shopping at Walmart from time to time. I usually don't have this big an issue buying games there, but would it kill them to have, like, a release schedule? Like, somewhere at the till that they can reference every, okay, it's Tuesday. Oh, this game's coming out on Sunday. Let's make sure we have it in the cabinets. You know, fucking get home, look at my receipt, realize I didn't use my credit. I was so pissed. And that was another scenario where I was just like, really, guys? Monday... Now I know why Garfield hates you so much. So, I don't know why I keep going back to Walmart to buy games, but maybe it's just these stories are just too great. Because when you think about it, like, Mass Effect, Walmart.
They're almost as good as my EB stories.
You have good EB stories, don't you?
They're getting bad again.
What?
Apparently, Joel, when he went to go buy me SWTOR for Christmas, the guy gave him this whole entire big argument about how SWTOR was not free to play. He's like, yes, it is. It's free to play now. And the EB guy was like, no, it's not, because I have friends, and they play, and they pay for it, and blah, 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 blah. And Joel said it was like this 15-minute argument with this guy. Oh, my God.
So basically what you're saying, you're arguing the opposite of what I'm arguing. I'm arguing that... you know, people who work at electronics stores should know what they're talking about, and you're arguing they probably shouldn't know so much. You know, those are the two extremes.
That's the thing, that is the EB guy was so totally wrong, but very passionate about the thing that he knew.
Yeah, I suppose maybe it is kind of the same.
Yeah, he was totally wrong, but it didn't matter.
And I did eventually play Fire Emblem, but I didn't get any farther than I did in the demo.
So it was worth the ordeal then.
Well, this is why I kept going back to Walmart and checking electronics, because I figure that if they don't have a physical copy in store, all this bullshit was worth it.
I see.
So I got to get past the point of the demo by the next time I go to Walmart.
I see. Fair enough, fair enough.
That's my plan.
That's a good plan. So I have not been playing Nintendo things, shockingly.
What have you been playing?
I have been playing more WoW and more StarCraft.
Shocker.
I'm really, really loving WoW and StarCraft right now, mm-hmm. and nothing has come out. Like, I'm going to switch when Bioshock and SimCity and, like, all the stuff starts coming out in March, then it's going to be a complete shift, and I'm probably not going to touch WoW for, like, 2 months. But what I have been doing is I've been hunting for all the elders for the Lunar Festival. I got my battle pet.
Do you, like, stab them?
No, I'm not actually hunting. You just have to find them, and then you turn in a quest, and they give you an elder coin. Except for, in order to get the achievement for visiting all of the elders in a certain continent, you have to, like, there's one in the Night Elf home city. I am Horde. They kill me. They kill me good. I tried, like, 10 times to get into Ironforge. Yeah, you can't do that. Not as a level 72.
Is it, like, in a Night Elf area where the druids are? Or is it in literally, like...
No, it's literally the capital city. And same with the one in Ironforge. It's literally in the middle of Ironforge. I was just like, maybe if I just run the door. And then I just, like, got to the door. And then I literally drop out of the sky dead. I was just like, oh.
I think what we've... I remember doing that in the past. And basically, the server would organize a raid on the city, and it's like, okay, anybody who wants to get their thingamajigger, you know, join the raid, we'll take them all out and you can get your thing. So,
because yeah, that's the one that I'm missing now in I guess wherever Ironforge is that Kalimdor or is that Eastern Kingdoms? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's Eastern Kingdoms.
Ironforge is the one that I'm missing. And actually, I don't think it goes towards the continental one. I think there's like an Elders of the Alliance, I think. Because there's like Elders of the Horde, Elders of the Alliance achievements. There's Eastern Kingdoms, Northrend, and Kalimdor. Then there's an achievement for all the guys in dungeons, which, oh my god, what a pain in the ass those are. Hmm. It's like, they're usually buried all the way at the end of the dungeon. So it's like all the dungeons that I had to go to in Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor weren't a big deal because the dungeons were like way low level. The guys are like level 30s, right? So, right. You know, for me, I'm a level 72 hunter now. So I just walk right through and they don't even attack me because I'm level 72. And if they do attack me, then I one-shot them and I keep going. But yeah, just like it's like this whole big maze and then I have to go all the way back and yeah, oh man, pain in the ass for one freaking elder coin. So I was really, 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 really hoping that I would get all the achievements for going to see all the elders before the end of the Lunar Festival because it's one of the once a year ones, but it's not going to happen. I think the thing ends tomorrow, so yeah, it's not going to happen.
What you're doing tonight.
Yeah, really. But then the whatchamacallit thing starts up. The Valentine's Day one, that starts. So I'm trying to get as much as I possibly can. Now that I'm 72.
Valentine's Day is next week.
You totally forgot, didn't you?
I've been busy. This is why I played WoW. Like, just, they'd remind you of all the
best. What you have to do is say, honey, holidays. I bought you a house. And sorry, there's your Valentine's Day.
It's actually kind of the opposite. I'm dirt poor. she lived at home.
And draw a little heart on a little piece of paper and be like, happy Valentine's.
I owe you 2 Valentine's Day gifts next year. No, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
But yeah, so Valentine's is next week, and what comes with Valentine's?
Write that down.
World event.
See, that if you're playing World of Warcraft, you never forget any major holidays. You got lead up to Valentine's Day, lead up to Easter, lead up to Halloween, lead up to American Thanksgiving. I guess that's the only downfall.
It's not Canadian Thanksgiving.
Well, you can't win them all.
You can't win them all. But yeah, so I was playing WoW, and I've been doing a lot of archaeology and exploration and stuff, because I got so upset after Outland that I haven't really done much of anything with the whole questing and everything else. I've just kind of been wandering, looking at all the pretty scenery with my awesome graphics and stuff. I've just been flying around and not really doing much of anything, except I've gone up 2 levels just leveling archaeology, because I went from, like, I hadn't been doing archaeology at all, so I just do it when I'm rested, and I get, like, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 XP for each artifact that I find, and I find, like, 6 or 7 artifacts at each dig site, so I've gone through 2 levels. I went from level 70 to 72, and I'm almost at 73, strictly from just leveling archaeology from 0 to, I think I'm 320 now or something like that.
Wow.
So, it's pretty sweet.
I never did archaeology. Is it fun? What do you do in archaeology?
I like it. It's really cool. It's like you do a lot of exploring, because the locations of the dig sites are randomly generated. So I've had to go back to the same dig site a couple times, because obviously, like, the continents are only so big. There's only so many dig site locations. But the ones that you can currently do your archaeology skill at are randomly generated.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of go there, and then you have this little, you place this little survey tower, and then there's a little light, and if it blinks red, then you're, like, more than 100 feet away from the closest artifact, and if it blinks yellow, then you're, like, within 50, and if it blinks green, you're within 10, and then it points in the direction of the artifact, so then you'd basically just have to put down the surveying thing, which is just, like, a spell you cast, and then you just have to run however far it tells you in whatever direction, and then you keep putting down little survey things until an artifact will appear. And then you gather a certain number of artifacts, and the artifacts are from each different race. So there's, like, night elf stuff, dwarf stuff. I've done some troll stuff, some fossil stuff. It's really, really cool. And then once you collect all these pieces, you can make things. And each thing that you make is, I think the cheapest thing that I made was, like, worth 2 gold at a vendor, I think. So, I mean, they don't really have any practical use, although I did make a rare one last time I was playing. And, like, sometimes you'll make battle pets at, like, at the higher levels, you'll make battle pets, and I think maybe there's a mount or two for archaeology, but I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it's like a night elf statue. Oh, the chat room is telling me that yes, you can get mounts for archaeology.
What?
So, but yeah, you can definitely get battle pets, because that's what started all of this, is I was in a zone and I have an add-on that tells me where all the battle pets are,
mm-hmm.
and it tells me where the ones are that I'm missing. And I had this whole zone and it was totally empty because I had everything, and then except for this one little, like, gear icon, and that's what the mechanical pets are, and it was this one clockwork gnome, I think, and it's like, requires archaeology, and I'm like, well, that's it. I can't collect them all if I don't have archaeology.
For someone who's never played a major Pokemon game, you sure are enjoying Pokemon.
I know. I love it.
So are you doing anything while you're playing WoW? This all sounds very tedious and boring to me. Like, are you watching videos? Or?
No, I'm just flying around, and I'm enjoying seeing the different models of things. Because WoW is totally new to me, right?
Right.
So, all the locations are new, all of the mobs are new in any locations I haven't been to yet, so I'm just loving the graphics and the environments and the areas, and, you know, the stuff that I get, whether it's, like, rare drops from killing things, or I've got a bunch of rare hunter pets now, just from exploring the world. So, I mean, I'm having a great time.
Well, that's good. I mean, as long as you're enjoying yourself. Usually when I played WoW, once I've experienced the music and whatnot, I mute it and then listen to podcasts, and that's how I got into podcasts, like, hardcore. Is just I burn through them.
Actually, is something that I probably should do, because I was saying to Joel the other day that I've fallen off of some of my absolute favorite podcasts I haven't listened to in, like, 10 or 12 episodes, because I used to have a job where I was in my office all day, I could just throw in my headphones and listen to stuff and, you know, enter data, make maps, you know, do whatever, but now I have a in-between job where all I do all day is call nurses, so I have to be on the phone, which means I have to be both listening and talking, so I can't listen to podcasts, which sucks.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't drive anywhere anymore, so. And I don't like having my earphones on the bus, because there's a lot of really weird people on the bus, and I really like to be aware of my surroundings, because, don't laugh, there was a shooting on a bus just down the road from me yesterday. So I kind of just really, really like to be aware of what's going on.
Before you said the shooting thing, I thought maybe you were going to say that some crazy guy came up to you, took the earbud out of your ear, and said, "Hey, lady, what you listening to?"
oh, there are so many crazy guys on the bus that just, like, they watch me. And I'm just like, okay, you're creeping me out now. And I make Joel meet me at the bus stop now just in case somebody gets off the bus to stalk me.
Ooh.
I'm a little bit paranoid. But I'm okay with that because I'm still alive.
You got to be careful. I mean, where Ashley works, her coworkers or boss or whatever won't let her walk home alone. So, like, today, I mean, when I got the car home today, like, I put it in the driveway and it wasn't going anywhere because it was stuck. It was a one way in, no way out situation. So I had to walk in a blizzard, like, you know, 10 minutes up the street just to get Ashley and bring her back, right? So, no, you got to be careful, even in broad daylight.
It only takes once.
Yeah.
You never know.
Lucky 99 times, and then that one time is some crazy guy.
But anyways,
to listen to your earbuds.
Back to the video games.
Yeah, well, that could be a video game. It wouldn't be very interesting. But...
No, it wouldn't be very interesting. You've been watching stuff as opposed to playing stuff. What have you been watching?
I've been throwing money down the drain by paying for cable. No, I'm kidding. I miss TV. You know, I miss TV, and I think what was missing was TV. To be honest. TV. So I got cable again because we're going to have tenants, and I figured it would be an added bonus for them to have TV without having to worry about it and whatnot. So we bit the bullet. We bought a bunch of channels and stuff, and I hooked up the Wii U, and I've been trying out the Wii U TV, and it's interesting. It is probably the closest thing I've ever had to... You know,
Is it like TiVo? More like just a guide to the channels you already have? Like, what does Wii U TV actually bring to the table that you don't have through regular cable?
So I have an app on my phone that lets me, like, tag all my favorite TV shows. Then it tells me when they're coming on. Doesn't let me watch it. Doesn't let me change the channels. Just lets me know, you know, the new Office is coming on in 15 minutes, which is great.
So it's like a reminders app.
Well, that's on my phone, yeah. So that's just an example. But on the TV, you can do the same thing where you add your favorite channel, your favorite TV shows. So I got The Office and The Simpsons and all that fun stuff. But you don't just add new shows that are coming out. You basically add as many shows that you would just want to watch at any given time. So I don't want to watch new episodes of Seinfeld. I think most people would if they existed, but...
So oh, I was throw... like, wait, new Seinfeld? What? Yeah.
So, I mean, reruns, right? And you know, it's cool because I'll throw Seinfeld into my TV favorites, and then I'll go to basically what is the TV guide. But it's personalized to your TV show favorites. And
they should have called it anything but TV because it's so confusing.
I know.
It's like you have to say TV double I.
Yeah. It's like a secret agent. But no, it's interesting because you go to the TV guide and it'll show you, okay, here are all your favorites. Seinfeld is on right now. Family Guy starts in an hour. A new episode of How I Met Your Mother is on later tonight. And it gives you all that information without all the clutter. Like, I don't want to see what's on Spice. I don't want to know what The View is going to be about this week. I just want to know when The Simpsons is going to be on and when I can watch it. You know, so it's cool. And I mean, if you're paying for TV and if you have a Wii U, it's a free service. You might as well use it. And
well, that's a plus. At least they got that right. If they had made you pay for it,
I wouldn't have bought it. It wouldn't have made sense to me. And it works really well when you have a good variety of channels, because so far it doesn't let me say, oh, sorry, you know, TV, I don't actually own that channel. So can you just never tell me again that my favorite show is going to be on there, because I keep getting my hopes up. You know, I'll see, oh, new Big Bang or Big Bang Theory is on now, and I'll click it, and it's like the cable box says you don't currently have this channel. So when you pick a show and you go, okay, I want to watch it on this channel, it tells you all the channels it's going to be on. You click it, and then it the Wii U controller tells the cable box. So it's not, you know, most people would argue it's like, yeah, you can probably make an iPad app that does that. But the difference being that the iPad app won't tell
your
cable
box.
Interact
with your cable box, yeah.
So that's cool. And I unfortunately missed out on the Super Bowl when I had this all set up. I actually went out to watch the Super Bowl. And I think the key there is that it has an interesting future where they've been sort of treating these special live events with like play-by-plays and score updates and like social interactions. So it would have been really cool to try it out with the Super Bowl. I guess I'll have to wait till the Stanley Cup or something, because when there's this live event, it shows you like score and the last 10 plays, and I don't understand football. So if I was to have that gamepad in my hand, I could be talking like I know what I'm doing. You know, like, oh, did you see this quarterbacker just sideline the flim flam? I don't know. Technical terms.
You really have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know. And I mean, TV helps you out with that.
Yeah.
So it's cool. And I think the next step is trying it out with a live sort of event. Yeah, it's definitely heading in the right direction, but I think Nintendo really needs to... They can't just leave it as is, because this is something that the other guys are looking at, and they could easily copy it. Easily. Yeah,
true. Very, very true.
So if Nintendo doesn't run with it, I think Microsoft and Sony will take it.
Yeah. So I also mentioned I was playing StarCraft.
Mm-hmm. More Blizzard titles. More Blizzard titles.
More Blizzard titles, yes, sorry.
No. See, this is why I'm not playing WoW, because I would have no time for TV. So
That's true. So I'm playing StarCraft 2. I played a couple more bits of the campaign, and there was like a really cool cutscene in between a couple of levels, and there was this like old Protoss guy, which I'm sure if I'd played StarCraft, I would have been like, oh, that guy! And it would have been this whole like really, really cool moment, but I haven't. But it was still really cool, but there was no like, I feel like it would have been like when Garrus comes back in like Mass Effect 2 or something, you know, this big reveal moment, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was really cool, and the cutscene was well done, and I was really happy. I'm really enjoying the campaign. I also played another game against Joel, and I think that we have decided that we're not allowed to play against each other anymore, because
what'd you do?
I almost rage quit StarCraft. Like,
really?
Forever. Like, never touching the game again, because, like, I've been trying so hard to get good at this game, and I feel like I'm putting so much pressure on myself, because I'm a really competitive person, if you guys haven't noticed. So, I am a really, really competitive person, and I want to be good at this game, and I really, really like this game, and I feel like there's all this pressure, so when I don't do well... really, really hard on me emotionally,
right.
And I know that I'm taking it too hard, but you know, like, I just, not that I expected to be good, because I know that it's like, I know it's a very, very complicated game, but right. Like, I mean, I like Sims, like when I say Sims, I mean like simulation games. Mm-hmm. I like strategy games like Civ 5. The whole Civ franchise is one of my favorite things of all time, but I've never played a real-time strategy game before. So it's a huge adjustment for me. So I told Joel, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be playing on the ladder once I get my confidence up. So I'm like, don't hold back. Like, we're good. And like, I need to learn. And you can't, like, because he was saying, oh, what if we just say like Marines, Marauders, Medivacs, and that's all we're going to play with. And we'll both stop at that and we'll just go at each other. And, you know, you can learn strategy like that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, if it's available in the game, you throw it at me, because I need to learn and I'm not going to learn. But I find that I spend so much time looking at the icons and try to figure out what it is they do and, you know, what else I have to build. And I don't know all the tech trees and stuff yet. So he knows the tech trees. And so it was like, I don't even know, 5 minutes into our match, and all of a sudden I get this nuclear launch detected voice in my head, and I was like, wait, what? So I took all of my workers away from my base, because I was like, well, if I'm about to get nuked, which I didn't even know that was a thing, then he's probably going to nuke my base, because that would make sense. So I moved all of my workers over to where my bunkers and my army were, and then I was just like trying to figure out what if I could even counter this nuclear strike.
Right.
And then the next thing I know, my army and my workers gone.
Oh. There isn't even...
I didn't even know where it happened. I just went back to where they were, and there wasn't even, apparently there's like a crater animation or something. It wasn't even there anymore because like it was, I was so far, like it took me so long to figure out what was going on that I missed it completely. It was just like, all of a sudden I had no workers and no army and one base. And I was just like, what just happened to me? And he was just like, well, it was kind of cheap, but it's what's available in the game, so someone in bronze is probably totally going to do that to you. So I'm teaching you, right? And I was just like, oh, man. So, like, I probably shouldn't have gone
with the nukes.
I built up as much as I could to try to recover, and I did okay. And, I wasn't able to go attack him at all, but I was able to hold him off for about 20, 25 minutes. And then, like, because he was so far ahead of me in everything by then, in, like, army, supply, just, like, everything, minerals, everything. So he hadn't attacked me in a while, and I had just watched I think it was Husky's streams, because I was watching a whole bunch of them the other morning, and so I, in that stream, I had been introduced to these battleship cruiser things, right? So Joel hadn't attacked in a while, and I was just like, oh, he's building those big ship things. He's going to come in and destroy me. And I was just like, and I didn't even know what to do. And the next thing I know, it's totally like the whole back of my base is exploding, and there's like six of these giant ships. And I was just like, F this noise. I hate this game. It's stupid.
Well, okay, you haven't finished the campaign, and
no, I haven't.
Common practice, for me anyways, is to complete the campaign and then go into multiplayer, and when you do start in the bronze ladder, like starting small, have you done your five qualifying matches?
Or no, I haven't. That? I've done three matches, two matches against just random people in the practice, because there's like, you have 50 matches you can play in like practice mode, and they're not ranked. It's just like random people who are very like new to the game. All the maps are modified, so they're like beginner maps. Your base is already not necessarily kind of walled off, because there's like a mountain of debris on your ramp, so you have to destroy the debris before you can leave your base. So it's kind of like, you know, like it's so people can't rush you in the first like 10 minutes, right? Without you at least getting some kind of like notice. So anyways, I won one match and I lost one match. And the match that I lost was a guy playing Terran who clearly always plays Zerg, because like he just came at me with like what literally looked like a Zerg rush, but it was like Marines. I was just like, aw.
Marine Rush. There, okay.
Yeah, Marine Rush, yeah.
There are strategies in StarCraft that I've seen successfully work, where the guy builds like four barracks.
Barracks?
I always call them barracks. Ever since Warcraft 3. Oh, build a barrack there. This was before Barack Obama, like when barracks were cool. So.
You loved barracks before barracks were a thing.
Yeah, I'm a hipster. I'm a Barack hipster. Anyways, they built like just a massive amount of Marines, and the only thing that will take them out is any sort of siege damage, so like siege tanks, and that's all I know of for siege. But yeah, that is a strategy that works, and you can take out just, you tear apart flying enemies. It's crazy.
Well, he also, by the time we actually ran into each other, like I think I had two bases and he had like six or seven, and I was just like, I don't even know how you expand that much with Terran ever. So
you build a ship and then you lift it off, you build the base, you lift off, and you move it over.
My buildings move
like that.
So anyways, and then so I beat another guy, and I felt pretty good about that because I did beat a random person, but I haven't played my ladder matches yet, so I'm really not good.
Really? You'll find when you get into the ladder matches, you'll be playing people of your skill level, and it sounds like
he played very seriously. He used to do segments on StarCast, like 2 years ago when StarCraft 2, or maybe longer than 2 years ago, whenever StarCraft 2 first came out, he did like little 5-minute segments, I think, on each of the different kinds of units. So now Joel was way into StarCraft for a long time. He kind of, he gave it up about a year and a half ago. I think he just kind of got too busy, ran out of time. Had nothing to do with meeting me, by the way.
You're bringing him back for Heart of the Swarm.
So yeah, he kind of just fell off of StarCraft and now is getting back into it. And I mean, like, the first couple matches I played against him, I held my own, and now it's just like he's remembering everything and he knows what he can do, and it's just like he's gone pew through the roof, and I'm just like, bad.
You'll get there. I'm sure you'll get there.
So do you want to give us some quick impressions on this Ni No Kuni game?
Ni No Kuni. It's the JRPG everybody's talking about, so of course.
I know everyone's talking about it. I had not heard about it until 2 weeks ago, whenever it came out and everybody started freaking out about it. I didn't even know it was a thing, but it's because it's a PlayStation thing, and I don't have one of those, so.
I think the reason it's kind of getting a lot of like talk is it's a level 5 game, which is a pretty prolific JRPG maker, but also the animation is done by Studio Ghibli, if that means anything to you. I guess it's a really famous anime house. Joel would probably know. He's probably jumping up and down in the other room. And anyways, I'm just a few hours in. I picked it up on the weekend and got a chance to play it on Monday for a bit. And it's interesting. People describe it as sort of like Pokemon / RPG, you know, and I'm not quite far enough in to get to that point, but I will say you're introduced to your main character, Oliver, in such a weird way. Like, you're living in the normal world and then something tragic happens to him. And through that, his doll comes to life named Mr. Drippy. And everybody talks with an English accent. And it's
English, like British?
Yeah. Oh. So this awful thing has happened to Oliver, and I won't spoil it. It's like the first hour, but I'm not gonna spoil it. But and Mr. Drippy is like talking to Oliver, and he's like, "Oh, you're just a big crybaby, Mr. Oliver. Crybaby Oliver. Just, you know, you'll be fine." And it's and I'm like, the poor kid is traumatized, and his stuffed animal comes to life and is just berating him and telling him to stop crying. I'm like, Mr. Drippy, I mean, you gotta be nice to this guy. So, I mean, and then Mr. Drippy takes you on an adventure into a parallel world where you must save it, you know? It's typical, so far, JRPG storytelling, but, I mean, Mr. Drippy's kind of an ass. But he does have a fantastic accent. I'll give him that.
Yeah. So are you enjoying it? Do you think you're going to be playing it for a while? Is it living up to all of this hype? Like,
I like it. I'm about 3 hours in, and I'm enjoying it. But I hear it's like a 60-hour game, so I'll be surprised if I kind of get through it. But
stick with it.
I feel like I'm not at the point where I've made a decision as to whether I'll see it through. I'm still technically going through the tutorial. Like, it's, I think that I'm in a town and they're sort of like, "Oh, you have weird clothes. We should probably replace them, you know, because you come from another world." So you go to the tailor and then you learn how to buy stuff. And it's, so that's where I'm at right now. I'm still learning the process of the game, but the combat is interesting. It's all real time and involves swapping yourself out for your spirit. No, they call them familiars, which is like little animals that pop out of your heart. They're run by your heart power. It's, like I said, typical JRPG.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to try and play a little more for next week, and we'll see if it's sort of dug its claws in. But
I am interested to hear about it because, like I said, everybody's been talking about it for weeks now. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
So I just wanted to give a quick thanks and shout out to Josh from the Random Geeks podcast, because he sent me the PC version of Super Meat Boy on Steam. It was on sale this last week, so I got a present. So thanks, Josh.
Josh, the Super Meat Boy. Great game.
Yes. Well, and I have Super Meat Boy on Xbox, but I really wanted to try the PC version because I just am loving sitting in front of my PC and playing things, and I feel like clicking and stuff or using my mouse or keyboard or whatever you have to use in Super Meat Boy might be better than the controller. I don't know. I haven't decided.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know. I feel like at least if I'm at my PC, I can have my headphones in and Joel doesn't have to hear the noise and the no, just, music, because apparently Super Meat Boy just drove him absolutely insane. So,
but
I'm
now
trying it on the PC.
Now all he's going to hear is every 5 seconds, like, ah, damn it. Ugh, or damn it.
Yeah. The meat cackle.
Finally, the meat cackle returns.
Ugh. Return of the meat cackle.
Oh, that sounds bad.
It sounds actually horrible, but yeah,
you should get that checked.
Oh, supreme.
Your reaction just made it worse, and then you said something about cream. They have creams for that.
So
speaking of creams,
also would like to thank our sponsor, Doghouse Systems, who is currently in the middle of an awesome giveaway for the Kerrigan Sniper Rifle. It is made by the fantastic Bill Duran, which I looked it up and listened to him watched a video and listened to him say his name so that I would get it right, because I got it so wrong last week.
Doran. It's right in the notes, people.
It's in the notes. Doran. So yes, it's Bill Duran of Punished Props. And the only way to be entered to win the rifle, which has a $1,200 value, is to use the code Kerrigan at checkout. So you can use the code Kerrigan in conjunction with the code TheGamersIn to get your entry in. And then Bill is actually going to be coming on the show, and he's going to be talking to us about cosplay on March 1st, which I'm super excited about. So you have to submit your purchase to Doghouse using the codes by March 12th, which is the launch of the Heart of the Swarm, to be considered a valid entry. So head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Big thanks to Doghouse for their continued support of our show. Which brings us to Quickfire News.
Mm-hmm. IGN is no longer owned by Fox. J2 Global has acquired IGN and related sites through their Ziff Davis subsidiary. A dollar amount was not disclosed, but sources claim News Corp was looking for less than $100 million for the bundle. The significance of this purchase is a tangled web of bankruptcy, company buyouts, and a lot more nonsense. So you'll have to check out the story to kind of get all that information. But in the end, we could all just be happy that IGN is not owned by Fox anymore.
So guys, guess what? Halo is real! It's not really. But regardless of what side you're on, in any debate, take this next story as an example of why you should always, always do your research. I am going to show people in the video stream this picture. So, almost 500 people have shared this picture of a poor Halo fan touting him as everything that is wrong with America and guns. One problem, the gun is fake. And not just a replica of an actual gun, but it is a replica of a fictional sniper rifle from Halo. Also, he's a journalist at Kotaku, who wrote about the experience at Bungie when he had the picture taken, and then again about being the face of gun control on Facebook. Since the latter article, the photo and all of its terrible comments have been removed, because some of them are actually really horrible. But not before screenshots were taken, so we can all laugh at the stupidity for years to come.
Oh, man. Witcher 3 has been revealed, finally. CD Projekt Red announced through a Game Informer cover, I mean, that's how everybody does it these days, that The Wild Hunt will begin in 2014 on PC and high-end consoles. Is it just me, or did CD Projekt Red just coin the term coming out on everything but the Wii U? Bastards. Anyways, the developers are claiming the game will take place in a world rival ring. There's no R in there. Skyrim, and be larger than any environments featured in the first two games. What am I most excited about with this news? Geralt's sick new beard.
GameStop shares tumble over Xbox rumors. The latest rumors about the next-gen Xbox are enough to make me jump ship for whatever PlayStation throws in my face on February 20th. An anonymous source told Edge that the next-gen Xbox will require a constant internet connection and games will ship with an activation code that will have no value beyond the original user. This means that there are no more used games, which generates a significant I totally lost my place. No more used game, which is really, really not cool. Apparently, investors in GameStop feel the same. Shares in the company, which generate a significant portion of its income from, or sorry, revenue from the sale of used games, fell over 6% after the rumor leaked. This is also not the first time we've heard rumors like this. A few months ago, the console was reported not to accept discs, which is another shot aimed at the used game industry. All Sony has to do now is announce that their system will play nice with used games and Xbox gamers will flock to the PS4. Frankly, I think they would be crazy not to.
We need to talk about that one. Bungie's Destiny to be revealed in a few weeks. In the latest community theater video put out by Bungie, the developer let fans know that they will soon know what they've been working on with Activision these past few years. Even though the project has seen its fair share of leaks, I'm still eager to see some actual gameplay rather than just concept art. Bungie should pull back the curtain sometime before GDC, as they'll be giving a talk there about the development process behind Destiny.
Ouya news! We have news for all of you who ordered an Ouya console through Kickstarter. You'll be getting yours in March, while the rest of us will have to wait until June. Major retailers are taking pre-orders now, including Amazon and Best Buy. Although the company is not releasing pre-sale numbers, they have said that the pre-sales are higher than the Kickstarter, which accumulated 68,000 backers and ended at a total of over $8.5 million raised. The system will set you back $100 with an extra controller costing $50. The relatively high price for the controller is due to the inclusion of the touchpad, which was recently replaced with a more responsive model after developers gave Ouya their feedback.
Connor is out for next Assassin's Creed game.
I said poor Connor.
I know. He barely got a shot, where Ezio got three games. I don't know. Ubisoft is going to release another Assassin's Creed this fall. That shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone, as Assassin's Creed 3 has shipped 12 million copies. During an earnings call, the company shed a few details, including that the game will feature a new hero, not Connor, and a new time period, not the American Revolution, which is still cool. That's great. But I'm kind of enjoying the American Revolution as I still want to kill some redcoats. I mean,
Iwata says cloud gaming is not the future because physics. Nintendo has never offered cloud gaming, and it seems they won't as long as Iwata remains convinced that the limitations in technology are too great. He believes that because it will always take some amount of time to transfer data, because physics, that the latency issue, quote, because physics, that the latency issue will make it impossible to play action titles online. He says there are some types of games that can be put on the internet and some that simply cannot. Sony seems to believe otherwise, as they recently acquired a cloud gaming service which will, quote-unquote, allow an array of content, including high-end games, to be streamed to a range of internet-enabled devices. And you know what physics makes me think of, Ryan? Physics makes me think about portals.
You've been thinking with portals, is that what you're saying?
I have been thinking with portals, which gets me extremely excited about our topic of the week, which is J.J. Abrams plus Gabe makes Portal movie.
Half-Life movie, possibly, which I would be... I don't know. You've never played Half-Life, have you?
I have not played Half-Life, but what I did do was Google Half-Life.
Close enough, I suppose. Not
it's
really.
It's totally the same. No, it's not the same.
You should play Half-Life 2.
But what I did do, I read a synopsis and I like looked at some screenshots, watched some videos, and I mean, even though I haven't played Half-Life, I can definitely see how that would be a really, really cool universe and really cool story. So again, I haven't actually played Half-Life, but yeah, J.J. Abrams and sci-fi can just keep on keeping on. I am a fan of that. So since you have played both franchises, Ryan, mm-hmm. what are you more excited about? The possibility of a Portal movie or a Half-Life movie?
I think a Half-Life movie has more sort of story to it. I think a portal would sort of work at, you know, okay, this is my proposal here. Portal would be the
Portal meets Half-Life.
Well, technically Portal 1 was set within the Half-Life universe and it's sort of, you know, intertwined, but then in Portal 2 when they went so far in the future that they totally took it out of the universe. But I think Portal would work really well as the short movies before the main movie. You know how a Pixar film has their short films?
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
I mean, I say that, but then I'm instantly like, oh, no, but Portal 2 had such a cool story in it. It would be like a comedy, you know? It would be a buddy comedy.
With Portal 2, like, I agree. In Portal, there wasn't a huge story, you know? Like, it was very much like you had this voice talking to you, and you had to run through all these tests, and, you know, there was cake, but then there wasn't cake, and, oh, my God, the cake is a lie. And that was pretty much Portal. And then you had Portal 2, and it was so much more in depth. You had, you know, multiple robots, and then there was, like, you got the whole kind of background of what the experiments were and what the tests were in the first place, and you got to go in the background of the testing area a whole lot more, and I don't know, I think there's a really big world there. And then, I mean, when you see, spoilers here for Portal 2, anyone who's paying attention, spoilers for Portal 2, ending, spoilers, okay, so... There's at the end of Portal 2, when you're escaping, you see, like, it's just level after level after level of all these sentries, and it's just like, oh my God, they're gonna kill me, like they're gonna kill us all. And so I would really like to see where they're gonna go with Portal 3 and with the possible Portal movie. And there's just so much in that universe that I think could make a really great movie, because it was a good story in you know, like, the, I guess, how long did Portal take to play, like 20 hours maybe?
It was up there.
Up there. So, I mean, if you can take a good story like that and make a 20-hour game out of it, like, if you take out all of the actual gaming and having to go through the levels, then I feel like there's still a good hour and a half, 2 hours of just plain story content in there. So I think, even a Portal 2 movie, I think, would totally be doable. I wouldn't want to see a Portal 2 movie because we've already seen the Portal 2 story. But something in that universe, I think, is totally doable, and I would be completely behind. Although, at the same time, if you make a Portal movie, then I would actually rather that whatever that story is to be told to me in game form, because I love playing Portal.
Yeah. I think Portal works better as a game as opposed to, you know, than a movie, because you even in Portal 2, you're sort of getting to a point where, okay, this is solve the puzzle time, and it's like takes 2 hours to solve the puzzle with Portals, right?
Oh my God, dude, can you imagine all the vomit? Oh my God, I just thought of that now, because I mean, like, it's hard enough when you have, like, just your TV screen or a computer screen and you're playing Portal, when you're, like, doing the drop through of all the portals to build up your velocity or something. Can you imagine that on a movie screen?
No.
There would be people vomiting everywhere.
It'd be like, it'd be like The Exorcist or something in there.
It would be terrible.
The more I think about it, the more I'm thinking that Portal really doesn't work as a movie. But I mean, if someone's going to do it, J.J. Abrams is the guy to do it. I think Half-Life is more a linear story, and you can adapt that better to a movie and make a good condensed, like, compact film.
The one thing that I did, and it might just be because I'm watching Fringe right now, but I read Half-Life and I was like, that's totally Fringe. With the like, ripping holes in dimensions and, like, I read that and I'm like, well, JJ's gonna like Half-Life. He loves the whole different dimensions and time traveling and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, Half-Life came first. You know that, right?
Oh, yes, I do know that.
Okay. I'm just saying
that universe would really appeal to him.
and I mean, that begs the next question, is when is he going to have time to do this? You know, with the whole Star Wars thing.
I mean, like, he's got Star Trek coming out this summer. Is there going to be another Star Trek movie that he's doing?
He is signed to produce. I don't think he's directing. They'll probably fast track Star Trek 3 and get it out there. Since he's busy with Star Wars, they're like, well, we're not going to wait. We're just going to do it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, they did say that all of these things, because they're also talking about getting J.J. Abrams on to work on a new Valve game, like a new property, something that hasn't been done before. So, like, he's not going to
make Half-Life 3.
No, that's what they said. It will not be Half-Life 3.
Damn it. Come on, JJ.
it's going to be something totally new. It's not going to be Team Fortress. It's not going to be Half-Life. It's not going to be Portal. It's going to be something completely new from Valve that Gabe and JJ are going to work on together. So that's cool. But I don't know where he's going to find the time. I mean, if he's going to be doing, let's just assume it's a Half-Life movie. So he's going to be doing Star Wars 7 at least, if not more. If not, I don't know if he's going to be doing the entire trilogy, but, you know, he's got one Star Wars movie to do anyway. Yeah. And then, you know, a Half-Life movie plus everything else that he's got going on right now, plus a new, totally new Valve property game. Like, oh my God. He must not sleep. He must be some kind of weird alien thing.
If that guy has wife and kids, he must be divorced. I mean, that guy probably doesn't spend any time at home. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy. He seems like a really cool dude. And I like his projects. But something JJ is really good at doing is he's good at coming up with these ideas, then saying, okay, I've got to go take care of Project X. I'm going to put these two dudes in charge. Like, Lost was totally him coming in. Here's my great idea. And then he brings in, you know, the Lindelof.
What if we're going to have a Lost video game?
They already did, and it was shit.
No, I mean an actual good one.
Oh, okay.
Something that Gabe is involved in.
Yeah, I think Lost, you're kind of past your point of... They had their chance.
I know.
Unfortunately.
I just want more Lost.
Don't we all? Don't we? I need to rewatch that. It's been so
Me
long.
Too! I was just saying that to Joel the other day.
It's on Netflix.
I know it is. I keep hovering over it and stopping on it every time we're looking for something to watch on Netflix. Right. I'm like, we can watch Lost!
Even the pilot. The pilot's so good.
He got as far as the polar bear in the jungle and went, this is stupid. Why is there a polar bear in the jungle? I'm not watching this anymore.
But you find out 3 seasons later, it's the best thing ever.
I know.
I'm just kidding. I know. Yeah. JJ, I think he can make a great game. You know what? I'm more excited about, because this is going to happen sooner rather than the movie. I'm more excited about Valve actually putting out a game I'm interested in. Yeah. You know? Like, they haven't done anything since...
Portal 2,
good point. I was gonna say Left 4 Dead 2, but yeah, Portal 2 definitely.
Yeah, so I don't know, do you have anything else you want to talk about JJ and Gabe, or are we good to move on to our bounty of listener feedback for this week?
I want to watch Cloverfield again. That's all I gotta say.
Fair enough. So we actually do have an iTunes review this week, but we are going to leave it for next week because we have so much other stuff to talk to you about. So we got a website comment. I've been in the comics coast to coast world for the last 24 hours, so I apologize. So we got a website comment from Dave, who is King Argyle in the chat room. We totally missed it last week, so we apologize, Dave, but it was on episode 58, and it's about the Ouya. So, Ryan.
Yeah, I think Dave thinks we're a conspiracy against the Ouya. But I don't know, we like the Ouya, man. We want to see what it'll do. So, anyways, Dave says this. Just a slight note on Ouya. They have shipped all developer consoles on time along with the SDK. The official release date for the console to consumers is March 2013. He sources Wikipedia. So technically that is still...
And that is the March 2013 date is the date that it will ship to anyone who backed the Kickstarter. So It's not untrue. They are going to meet their target that they promised at the Kickstarter. It just won't be widely available in stores until June.
Well, I know David posted an image of what Amazon had up for their pre-order. It might have been Nicole, too. She's another gung-ho when it comes to this thing. But so technically, that is still early 2013. Typically, when a company says early 2013, assume that they mean the later half of that quarter. Yes, being a Nintendo fan, I learned that the hard way. Personally, I'm looking for...
How's your release window going, by the way?
Did you see that they delayed Rayman Legends? I was so pissed. That story broke, and it makes no sense.
Did you cry a little inside?
I've got too many games going on now, but I kind of just thought about it, and I'm like, really, Ubisoft? I was reading... It was awful.
Back to Dave's
comments. Sorry, Dave. Personally, I'm looking forward to seeing what independent developers and game companies come up with. It would be nice to have the in-review the system when it comes out. I don't think either of us... did the Kickstarter.
Order. No, I did not do the Kickstarter. I was kind of holding off, and I still am going to hold off because I don't know about the titles that they're releasing. Like, the big title that they were pushing in the article that I was reading is the Final Fantasy III, I think, which is what, a port of a portable game? And I'm just like, if that's your big thing, you're porting a game from another system, and it's a portable title, like, I don't know, they need to come out with something that's a little bit more compelling than just ports from other systems or mobile titles, I think.
Well, they announced that they're going to be doing an Ouya 2 and an Ouya 3 and releasing them annually.
They're doing an annual release cycle, too, which is another thing that I'm just like, well, maybe I'll wait till next year and then, you know, let them work out the kinks, the bugs, get some more people, get some more buzz. I mean, it's kind of the same idea as I know Mike Schramm was saying on Tech News Today. They were talking about the Ouya, and he compared it to the iPhone cycle, and I completely agree. Like, I never buy every single iPhone. Right. I didn't get the 3G. I got the 3GS, and then I didn't get the 4. I was going to get the 4S, but then ended up with the 5, but I never ever get every single one. So I think I'll probably do this something similar with the Ouya, especially at the $100 price point. I'll probably end up letting the first one go and let them work out all the kinks and then pick up 2 and then 4 and then 6.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what the Steam Box will do, because
there's that too.
Yeah, I really enjoy playing my computer on the TV, and one of the best things that the Steam Box has to offer is that streaming service. Because my office is so far away from the living room now that my 50-foot HDMI cable won't work anymore. So I think the Steam Box is what
I'm... Look at me, I'm Ryan. My house is huge.
No, it's not huge. It's just poorly laid out. It's actually quite small, as suggested by all the boxes everywhere. I have no storage. But I want to see what the Steam Box will do for us. I think the Ouya is cool. To me, it sort of feels like I get to play all my favorite iPad games on the TV with a controller.
Yeah.
And I know that's not like every iPad game, but I like some of the big iOS titles are going to be on that Ouya console. Mm. Maybe has EA thrown their weight behind it yet? Because that's a big mobile company.
Yeah, not that I've heard. I mean, that's the that's what I'm saying is I haven't heard any really big names in gaming get behind this console from the game development side. So I don't know. I'm still torn. I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm not saying it's a bad console or a bad idea. Like, I mean, the whole openness of the console and the Android operating system, which I'm pretty sure is why Dave is totally in love with this, is just, you know, like, it's compelling. It's awesome. And I'm totally with you that I want to see what Valve and Steam are doing with their Steam Box. I think that if I'm going to go with something kind of like this, I think I'm probably going to side with Steam, because I don't want yet another place to have to purchase games.
Exactly. No, I agree.
Yeah. So our next piece of listener feedback is actually an article that we were featured in. Our good friend Val, who is normally in the chat room and who discovered our podcast, actually, we were in episode 1 or 2, I think, when Val started writing in feedback. She is now writing over at gamerfrolic.com, and Ryan, she recommended your game.
Mm-hmm. She played Zombies Run, and she ran from zombies. And I like to think I had a part in that.
You did. Yeah. You definitely did.
But we will link the article in the show notes, and you guys can check it out. It's a review of Zombies Run, a little more detailed than what I spat out on the Gamers Inn a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, yeah. It was. I feel like it was back in the summer.
Yeah, it must have been. But no, I think she liked it. She gave it a 7, I think.
7.5, I think.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then finally, we got a Facebook post from Daniel Covert detailing his computer build, and he added a photo. So thanks very much for that. And Ryan, have you had a chance to take a look at it?
I did. And really what it did is it made me remember that we haven't seen your specs yet for your system. You need to post
your specs.
I know,
I will post them. I will go and post them tomorrow, I promise. And I will take pictures, and I'll make a cool little diptych collage or something, and it'll be awesome, and it'll be tomorrow, I promise.
You should have said, well, Ryan, what about your specs? And I'm like, oh,
Nobody cares about your specs.
Hey, I care about my specs. This conversation's getting weird.
Yeah, it's actually getting really creepy. Yeah. So that pretty much does it for us on the Gamers Inn for this week. So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com, where you can find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. You can also email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google Plus. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. Why are you doing your little head bob thing over there?
I'm entertaining myself.
Oh, I see. We would also like to thank Jill Duggan of StarCrossOnline.com, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Jill Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Gamers in playing Heart of the Swarm. I am not playing Heart of the Swarm. Okay, we have an iTunes review.
What? Does it say anything about my manly voice?
No, it doesn't.
That is not true.
Not true. That's okay.